Oh, the lights have come on and there is somebody at home, so that's good. Welcome, everybody. It's good to see you. I hope you had a nice break after our first session today. And just to help you get orientated, you are in the Supernatural Church Seminar. And you wouldn't want to be anywhere else, would you? I don't think, but I'm just a bit biased when it comes to these things. And we've been on a journey. Those of you who might have been with us over the last couple of days, we've been looking at how we can awaken healthy churches. Or how can we take steps forward to be more healthy in our church? And we've looked at the importance of evangelism with Mark Greenwood the other day, and how we need to keep the evangelism strong in our churches. If we're not recruiting and going after the lost, then eventually we're going to be inward looking and things will begin to gradually die, won't they? So the importance of evangelism. Yesterday we looked at the influencing church. We had Harold give us a great introduction from the Word of God. And then we heard from some brilliant people about how their churches are influencing their communities. And hopefully that gave you some steps forward. Wherever you are on that journey, to be a church that influences your community. And we saw yesterday that influence grows. And today is the Supernatural Church. And we want to talk about how God wants to restore the wow factor to his church. A number of years ago, I was watching a TV program. It was called The House Doctor. And if you've got a good memory, you might remember The House Doctor. The House Doctor is an American interior designer, and her job was to help people who were struggling to sell their houses. And what they did for the TV program, they would go around the house, they would film it, and the house had been on the market about 3 years and they'd have no offers for the house. And so they'd film people going around the house. So prospective purchasers would be filmed and you could see them going around, and the owners were not allowed to be in the house at the time. And they go into the different rooms and they kind of say things like, oh my goodness, look at the wallpaper and look at the carpet and the garden's a jungle. Then the house doctor was brave enough to show the prospective sellers, vendors of the property, the video. And they were shocked. Like, how can they say that about my interior decoration? Our garden's amazing. And then the house doctor would say, well, actually, the most important thing is that we sell your house. And if you let me have it, I'll get it. I'll sell it for you in like 3 weeks. And then the house doctor would say things like, what you need to do is to clear the house of all the clutter. So make it look like nobody lives here. That's number one. This is really good, helpful advice for those of you trying to sell a house. Yeah, make sure there's any signs of life are completely eradicated. Looks like a show home. Paint everything a kind of beige color or white color, a neutral color. And then she said this, but what this house needs is a wow factor. And when people come in, There needs to be something where they go, wow. Maybe it's the kitchen and they come in and it's like, wow, this is amazing. That's going to be awesome. Or the garden, or maybe it's, a luxury bathroom or something. But every house needs a wow factor, needs something that will go, wow, I've got to live here. I've got to have this. As I was listening to this program a number of years ago, I felt God say to me, that's what I want to do to the church. I want to restore my wow factor to my church. I want to, when people come through the doors of our Elim churches, that they will say, wow, God's in the house. He is here. He's present. And how is that going to happen? Well, all the other things that we do really well, we've got to make sure our services do well. But I believe that the biggest wow factor is when God shows up in supernatural power and he comes and he visits us. And so today, that's what we're trying to encourage you. Maybe you're on the journey already and you're seeing God do some amazing things, but there's always more, isn't there? Or maybe you look back at a time when God used to do some things in your church, but maybe the heat of that has gone out a little bit. And today we're hoping that God will rekindle something. So that's a super long introduction to where we are today. And my friend, Chloe, would you come and join me on the platform? And I'm going to ask Michelle maybe to come and pray for Chloe as she comes today. But Chloe's a friend of mine. At least I call her a friend. She may not have the same view, but she's one of my friends, and she's based in Wales, and so am I. So that makes her special as well. And Chloe is a doctor. She has a PhD in healing. How about that? And she's going to talk to us today about healing and how we can know that healing and power and that healing touch of God and how we can restore that wow factor to the church. And she's living that out. So she works for Alpha, is the associate director of Alpha, and is also grounded in a local church in Swansea, helping with students and young adults and serving in that way too. So she's a blessing. You'll be challenged today. We want this to be practical and helpful. So bless you. Welcome to Elim. It's great to have you with us. And Michelle, would you pray?
Father God, we want to thank you for Chloe and the ministries, Lord God, the different ways that she serves you, Lord God. We pray a prayer of thanks for them, Lord God, and ask that you'll bless those ministries, Lord God. We thank you that she's here being generous and sowing amongst us today. But Father, as she does so, we pray that you would multiply, Lord God, the fruitfulness of her ministries, Lord God, around the nation, Lord, and in the nation of Wales. And Father, we just thank you for what she's going to share, what you've planted on her heart today. Lord, may it land in our hearts. And Father, we do pray for the wow factor in our churches, that what's being said today, Lord, would ignite something in us, in our hearts, in our minds, Lord God, that we would go back to our churches, Lord, changed. And Father, we would see your spirit move in new ways and in new power in every Elim church across this nation and beyond. In Jesus' name, bless Chloe. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you, Steve. I could have carried on listening to you preach. That was great, wasn't it? I actually put my, I put my house up on the market last week, so I was there writing notes of how I need to sell it. Great. Well, thank you so much for having me. My name's Chloe. I've loved hanging out with you so far. It's great to be at the Elim Conference. Before I dig in today to some of my findings of my PhD and a practical teaching on how to heal the sick, I'd love you to turn to the person next to you and have a little chat. What was your experience of learning to drive like? If you don't know how to drive, then forgive me for this illustration, but have a little chat. When you were learning to drive, could have been last year, could have been a long time ago. What was that experience like for you? Give me a hands up if you passed first time. Okay, loads of you. Okay, hands up if you passed second time. Okay, nice, standard. Hands up if you passed third time. A few thirds. Anyone took four times to pass, a few fours. Five? Any fives out there? No, I think we finished at four. Oh, I got a five, I see a five. Any six? No. Do you know what? I did this one time and someone put their hand up for nine and I thought, mate, you shouldn't be on the road. Nine times to pass your test. Well, learning to drive for me was quite an experience because it was the first time I prayed for someone for healing on my own. Now, I'd grown up and seen a lot of healing all the time. I remember being a little girl at a evening worship night, colouring on the floor, and people gathered around a lady in a wheelchair and they were praying for her, and then all of a sudden she stood up, started running around the building. I remember she jumped over me as I was colouring and going home and said, "Mum, Dad, what happened to her? Oh, Jesus healed her." Or my mum, she had a really serious neck injury. She was in pain for years. She lived in a neck brace. And again, at a church service one time, people gathered around her and she was totally healed. And as a little girl, seeing the difference in my mum from being in pain for years to suddenly totally free and without pain. I remember being at the dining room table, eating dinner with the family and the landline going, you know, when the phone would go and you used to have to walk out of the room to pick up the phone. I remember that, not in your pocket. And my dad coming back in and saying, "Oh, who was that, Dad?" And he'd say, "Oh, it was just, you know, the car mechanic. You know, I prayed for him earlier. He was blind and now he can see." You know, these kind of stories were normal for me growing up, hearing stories of healing all the time. So I'm 17, I'm in the car with my driving instructor, And she turns to me and she says, hi, Chloe, nice to meet you. And just to let you know, on this first lesson, you can't stall the car, you can't brake harshly, and please be careful as you go over speed bumps. And I remember thinking, gosh, she's really strict. And then she went on to explain, I suffer with sciatica, and any sudden jolt or movement will cause my back to go into spasm, and I'll be in a lot of pain. I'll be in bed for weeks. I won't be able to teach you how to drive. Oh, that's no good. I'm 17. I want to learn how to drive. So I plucked up the courage to say, well, in my church, we often pray for people for healing. Do you mind if I pray for you? And she said, I'm not religious or anything, but sure, if you want to. So I put my hand on her back in the car, stationary outside the house. And I just said, in the name of Jesus, back be healed. Amen. And she said, oh my goodness, what have you done? My back is filling up with heat. And all of a sudden, all the pain left and she was totally healed. And then as we started driving the car, learning, crunching into gears, she asked me what kind of church I go to, what kind of Christian I am. And it opened up this big conversation about faith and life and Jesus. And I was able to share the gospel with her. And every single week after week after week, we were talking about faith and Jesus. And it opened my eyes to what living a normal, supernatural life can look like. How in our everyday, we can offer to pray for someone. And then it opens up the conversation about Jesus. And I did stall the car many times and she was totally fine. I also failed my first test and still to this day I say, oh, the Lord wanted me to continue to witness to my driving instructor, so that's why I failed. I passed second time. But that occasion opened my eyes to living a everyday Christian life where we pray for the sick. That it's not just a one-off special event or occasion, but we are called to pray for the sick as an everyday part of our Christian life. In Acts 1 verse 8, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This is for us today. We are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, and one of those purposes is to be Jesus's witnesses, to use his power through the Holy Spirit to show the reality of God's kingdom in our everyday life. And I am utterly convinced that one of the best ways to witness to people and show them that God is real is to do mission through healing, to live our lives supernaturally to show the reality that God can have in people's lives. Why? Because it's what Jesus did. The Gospels are full of healing miracles, signs and wonders. When we look at Jesus's life and how he lived, nearly every page of the Gospels are covered in stories and testimonies of Jesus healing the sick. It's clear he healed all the time. It's not just an occasional feature of his ministry, but virtually every page from the start of his ministry to the end. Matthew 4, it says, Jesus traveled throughout the region of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. News about him spread as far as Syria, and people soon began bringing to him all who were sick. And whatever their sickness or disease, or if they were demon-possessed or epileptic or paralyzed, he healed them all. Jesus healed all the time. And Jesus is our example. He's our leader. So for us as Christians, we want to value healing like Jesus did. Every day, all the time, as a regular feature of our faith, life, ministry, and mission. You think when John the Baptist is in prison and he sends his disciples to find out if Jesus is the Messiah. And they go to Jesus and ask, and Jesus says this. It says in Luke 7, Jesus cured many people of their diseases, illnesses, evil spirits, and he restored sight to many who were blind. Then he told John's disciples, go back to John and tell him what you've seen and heard. The blind see, the lame walk, those with leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, and the good news is being preached to the poor. Of all the things Jesus could have said to reveal himself, he uses healing. Paul writes in Romans 15, by word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Holy Spirit, so that from Jerusalem and as far around as Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ, not just words and deeds, but signs and wonders. And healing is a way in which we can fully present the good news. It's a demonstration of Jesus's power, that he can change lives, that he is alive. It's a physical sign which reveals Jesus. In Wales, we're seeing many, many, many people healed, outside church and inside church. A couple of weeks ago in one of our services at church, I had a word of knowledge for someone with eczema, and my brother was leading the service. So I said, told him, had a word of knowledge for eczema. So he spoke it out and prayed for, he said, whoever that is, I want to pray for healing in Jesus' name. It was just as he was ending the service. And later, one of the girls came to the front, and one of our students had brought her non-Christian flatmate from uni. And the non-Christian flatmate was sitting in the church thinking, I don't know if I believe all this stuff. It doesn't sit right with me. And at that moment, my brother said, is there anyone here with eczema? Because I feel the Lord wants to heal you. And he prayed. And she lifted up her shirt and all her eczema had disappeared from her arm. She went on an Alpha course, gave her life to Jesus, and she's in one of our small groups now. That was in a church meeting. A couple of months ago, I was in the gym and I was doing a Les Mills body pump class, which are horrible if anyone's done them. And the instructor dropped her weights all of a sudden and she said, carry on, girls, I'm injured, so I won't be able to carry on, but you carry on. So all the way through finishing the class, I thought I should really pray for her. So at the end, I walked up to her a little bit sweaty and self-conscious and I said, oh, hi, I'm Chloe, and you mentioned you have an injury. Well, in my church, we often pray for people for healing. Would you like me to pray for your injury? And she said, Chloe, I was hoping you would ask. A couple of years ago, I went to one of your church Christmas services with an ex-boyfriend, and you were all talking about healing. And when you walked into my gym class this morning, I said to myself, I hope Chloe offers to pray. I've tried every paracetamol, physio, you name it, and nothing will budge it. I hope Chloe offers to pray. You were like, wow. So, okay, let's pray. So in the middle of the gym, me and my friend, we prayed for her in the name of Jesus, injury go, amen. And she was totally healed, and she was back to that gym class like never before. Jesus has equipped us to heal. When the disciples asked Jesus, what should we pray? Jesus says this, pray like this in Matthew 6. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What is God's will for us? It's to pursue on earth what's in heaven. Is there any sickness in heaven? No. So we can be confident to pray for people to be healed. Yes, we live in a broken world and we all experience the reality of that. And I don't know why some people get healed and some people don't. I don't have all the answers. But what I do know is that God is good and his will is to heal and bring life and not death. Jesus wants to heal. God is compassionate. He loves people. Sickness was not his idea or plan. And God cares about our daily lives. He brings healing and wholeness to every part of our lives. In Matthew 8, we spoke about it last night. Lord, if you want to, you can make me well. If you're willing, Jesus touched him and said, I want to. I am willing. Be healed. And instantly the leprosy disappeared. One day when Jesus returns, he'll bring his kingdom fully. But until then, he sends us out to bring more of his kingdom on earth. One time Jesus turns to his disciples in John 14 and says, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works because I'm going to be with the Father. Later in John 20, as the Father sent me, so I am sending you. Then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. We have been sent, equipped in the power of the Holy Spirit in the same way Jesus was. Jesus did all his recorded ministry after being filled with the Holy Spirit. He healed, he preached in the same way as an example to show us how to do it. Across Wales, we've seen hundreds and hundreds of people healed. And when I finished my theology degree, I went to Chichester University and I finished and I got offered a free PhD to stay and study. And I said, nah, I really didn't want to carry on studying. I felt called back to Wales to go back to the local church and serve there. So I turned it down, went back to Wales and started working in Cornerstone, our local church. And a year later, my supervisor rang me and said, look, we've made it part-time, so you can still work in the ministry, but we'd love you to carry on studying. I was like, oh. but I felt like, maybe God has brought it back round. So I very naively said yes and started the journey of a six-year part-time PhD. And long story short, I eventually landed on studying healing miracles in Wales because we were seeing lots of it, and I shared it with my supervisor who wasn't a Christian, and he was blown away and he said, this is your study, you need to study this. And he said, but Chloe, if you're going to study healing in an academic secular university, you really need to have some good stories to study to make it a viable study. You really need to have maybe 8, maybe even 10 really good stories that you can study. Do you think you can do that? I said, yeah, I think I'll see what I can do. So I sent questionnaires all around Wales. And then I met back with my supervisor and he said, so Chloe, did you manage to get 8, 10? You know, was it possible? Do you need to switch your topic? I said, I got 605. So I collected 605 stories in Wales, and mostly they were people healed who, in the last 1 to 5 years. 34% of people were healed 5+ years, but the rest were in the last 1 to 5 years. So it's stories happening now, that Jesus is happening now in our secular world. And do you want to know what my major finding was after 7 years of study, blood, sweat, and tears, 100,000 words later? God heals today. Now, there was more to it than that, but essentially that was what it was. So I found so I took a year to analyze all the 605 stories, and I was analyzing what are people saying when they get healed today. And I found 4 common themes that led me to the conclusion of the everyday miracle. So I'll unpack them briefly. So firstly, most people were getting healed in an everyday location. So I think sometimes we can assume that people get healed in a church context or come to the church service, but actually most people were getting healed outside of the church. The everyday person, again, we might assume that you bring a sick friend to the elders or to the church leader, but actually most people reported getting healed by a friend, a colleague, a sister, everyday Christians in their lives. Most people got healed of everyday ailments. So 40% of people had a serious or life-threatening condition. I mean, that's quite a lot. 40% were awesome, incredible stories. And then 60% were everyday ailments. Arthritis, eczema, severe migraines. I mean, these are things which are still really serious if you're living in pain day in, day out. But sometimes we can discount ourselves and say, oh, well, it's not life-threatening cancer, so maybe I won't go for prayer. But actually, 60% of people got healed of those everyday conditions. And then the fourth thing was the everyday language. So people weren't necessarily saying things like, I called all the elders and had holy oil dripped on my head, and I felt the shalom of God as I worshipped for 8 hours on my knees. People were more saying, you know, a friend turned to me and said, in the name of Jesus, pain go, amen. So there were still stories of elders anointing with oil, but most people were talking about, you know, in everyday language of an everyday ailment, everyday person, everyday location. So that led me to the conclusion that today in Wales, we're seeing everyday miracles. And I find that such an encouragement to us, that it's not like we have to go to a certain location with a certain person at a certain moment with a certain oil, but actually God is moving in our everyday lives with us, with me and you, everyday Christians, just offering to pray for our friends in the gym and at work and with our neighbor. God is on the move. Healing is and can be an everyday event. And many people ask me, can I read your PhD? I haven't published it yet, but I'm trying to write it into a book. So that's just a little QR code if you're interested in the book that hopefully will come at some point. But today, I thought I would go through, how do we pray for the sick in an everyday way like this? You know, 605 stories that people were talking about getting healed in an everyday way. What's like a biblical model that I can use to pray and also teach my church and my ministry and my people to pray in this way? So I thought we'd look at a little case study from Acts 3 together. So it reads like this. Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. But Peter said, I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, get up and walk. Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them. Later, it says in verse 12, Peter saw his opportunity and addressed the crowd. People of Israel, he said, what is so surprising about this? And why stare at us as though we had made this man walk by our own power or godliness? For it is the God who has brought glory to his servant Jesus by doing this. The first thing we can learn from this story is that it was on the go. Peter and John went about their usual day, going to the prayer service. The situation presented itself. There was someone in need. And healing needs to be a priority for us in our Christian lives, not just in a meeting, but in our everyday lives. When we look at Jesus and how he healed in the synagogues, in the hillside, in the street, in the houses, in the city, in the countryside. So in your life, whether you're at work or in the gym or in church or COVID or on Zoom or on the phone with family and friends, healing can be a part of those interactions. Let's not wait for a special meeting or a special person, but you can pray for people anywhere, anytime, any place, just like Jesus did. And this was one of the major findings of my PhD, the everyday location. I just want to read a few examples of where people said that they were prayed for healing. So these are just a few examples. I was prayed for on a Sunday. I prayed for a lady at Wonderland Nails whilst having a pedicure. At home group, at the scene of the accident, whilst watching a TV program, my wife prayed in bed, in a car with a friend, over the phone, in Costa Coffee, in a gym, in the kitchen, at a wedding, at an Alpha course, at a night shelter. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, let's be aware of the people on the go in our lives that we can pray for. The second thing from the Acts case study is that Peter responds. He offers to pray. Peter says, I don't have any silver or gold, but I'll give you what I have. I always think he so easily could have said, oh, no, sorry, I'm late for the prayer meeting, you know, rushing in. But he offers to pray. How often do we offer to pray? And not just for healing, for anything. You know, if a friend is feeling a bit down, you know, well, I believe in a God of joy. Can I pray that you would experience God's joy in your life? Or a friend who's talking about a job promotion or kids going to uni, don't know which one to pick. Well, I believe in a God who has a plan and a purpose for your life and your kids' life. Can I pray that you might know that in your life? I'm talking about non-Christians here. You know, that we would have the courage to say, do you know what? You're feeling really anxious about this, but I believe in a God who has a gift of peace for you. Can I pray that you would know his peace? Oh, you're suffering of, you know, tennis elbow. I believe in a God who heals. Can I pray for you that you would know God, the reality of God in your life? Often our non-Christian friends, they won't ask us for prayer. My story about the lady in the gym, that's never happened to me before. That's the only time that's happened. But usually our friends won't necessarily ask us. But we believe in an awesome, powerful God. And so it's us as the Christians who need to step out and offer to pray. I remember being in Tesco, and my dad always had stories of praying for people in Tesco. And my stuff was on the conveyor belt, and the lady was in a sling. So it was very obvious that she was in pain or something was wrong. And then she started talking about it. She said, sorry, I'm going so slow, love. I've done something to my collarbone, and I'm in pain. I thought, okay, I should offer to pray. So you know when you're kind of like psyching yourself up? I thought, okay, I'll offer to pray once she's done all my shopping. And then I thought, okay, I'll offer to pray once I finish packing my bags. And then I thought, oh no, I'll offer to pray once I've paid. So I paid. I thought, right, I'll offer to pray once she hands me the receipt. And she handed me the receipt and I said, thank you very much, have a nice day. That's okay when we have those moments. It's okay. But the whole of the rest of the week, I thought, oh, what might God have done? What might have happened if, you know, she'd been healed or felt God's touch in her life and she even brought it up? You know, it's okay that sometimes we feel a little bit timid, but I want to encourage you to go for it because it's amazing what God can do when we do go for it. A couple of weeks later, I was at work, and at the time I worked in a sports cafe on the beach, and I was the one who organized all the rotas for the surfing instructors who used to teach kids how to surf. And one day, the surfing instructor, it was not long after this Tesco experience, so the surfing instructor came in and he said, oh, I've done my neck out on the waves with the kids. I thought, right, here's my chance. So I said, well, I believe in a God who heals. Can I pray for you? And he said, oh, sure, if you want to. So I put my hand on his neck and I said, in the name of Jesus, neck be healed. Amen. I said, how does it feel now? Oh, yeah, it's still painful, but cheers, Chloe. And he walked off. That's it. That's the worst that can happen. He wasn't healed in that moment, but that was okay. Mild embarrassment for me. A week later, I'm sat in the office. There's a knock on the door. And it's the lady from Tesco. No, I'm joking. And it's the surfing instructor. And he says to me, Chloe, I didn't want to say at the time because I felt a bit embarrassed. But when you prayed for my neck, I felt like I wanted to cry. And I just don't know why. Would you explain to me why? I was like, thank you, Jesus. And I was like, it's God loves you. Sometimes we might feel emotional when God's presence comes. He loves you. He has a plan for your life. I was able to explain the gospel to him. So even though he didn't get healed in that moment, God was still at work in his life. So I want to encourage you, when you offer to pray, I know we can sometimes think, what if they don't get healed? And then what if they feel this or that? Or then they don't believe in God, I make it worse. We don't have to worry about those things. We just need to be faithful and offer to pray. The third thing we learn from Acts 3 is that we heal in the name of Jesus. Peter says, I don't have any silver or gold, but I'll give you what I have in the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene. Get up and walk. When we heal the sick, we heal in Jesus' name. It's not us doing the healing, it's Jesus. So this takes the pressure off. You know, we don't have to force anything. We don't necessarily have had to have been, you know, in prayer on our knees for 4 hours that morning before we pray. You know, all those things help that we're cultivating a spiritual life, and that's important. But it's not like you have had to have been in worship for 2 hours before you pray for someone. We are just like the waiters in a restaurant. The cook makes the dinner, the customer orders the food. We are just delivering it. So we use Jesus's name when we heal the sick. It's in his authority. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. Jesus has given us the authority to use his name. We're not using it, you know, by accident or, you know, secretly. I hope Jesus doesn't notice. You know, he's given us the authority. In Matthew 18, it says, Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. So when we pray for the sick, we want to heal like Jesus did. Now, when we read the scriptures, do we ever hear Jesus praying like this? Oh, Father God, please, please, please heal blind Bartimaeus. And Lord, if you don't heal him, please give him patience to be blind. Oh, please, please, I beg you to heal him. Do we ever hear Jesus praying like that? No, we don't, because Jesus knows he has the authority to heal. So he's not begging the Father. He knows he has authority. Let's read how Jesus heals the sick. Mark 1, the man with leprosy, Jesus says, be healed. Mark 2, to the paralyzed man, Jesus says, stand up, pick up your mat and walk. Mark 3, to the man with the deformed hand, hold out your hand. Mark 10, blind Bartimaeus, go, your faith has made you well. Luke 7, the widow's son raised to life. He says, young man, I tell you, get up. The list is endless. Jesus has authority and he just commands the healing. But that same authority and power is given to us. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we have that same authority. So when we are praying for people, we don't have to beg God to do it because he already wants to do it. He's given us the authority to do it. So all we need to say is in the name of Jesus, in his authority, be healed. We have the authority. We speak directly to the condition with authority, with confidence. You know, you can keep your eyes open, but speak it like you mean it. Don't be shouty and weird, you know, if you're praying for a non-Christian in Tesco. But, you know, you want to say it like you mean it. You're not begging God to do something. He has given us the authority. When I was a little girl, I got bitten by a big dog and a little dog. I was bitten on two occasions. So I grew up absolutely petrified of dogs, and we didn't have pets, so I was a bit afraid of all animals. And when I met my now husband, Russo, his family live in the Middle East. And he said, after we were engaged, he said, well, come out to the Middle East and come meet my family, spend some time with them. So I flew over and I walked into their house thinking really nervous to impress my future in-laws. And I walked in and it was like a zoo. They had 4 dogs, 3 cats, 2 budgies, a tortoise, you name it, they had it. They had every kind of animal. And then all of a sudden, this massive German shepherd comes pounding up to me. He stands on his back legs, puts his paws on my shoulders and is like, ruff. And I was petrified. And I was trying to play it cool with my in-laws to me, but I was so scared. And I spent the whole week like avoiding this dog. And if you have a dog, you know it's probably the worst thing to do. I was just trying to avoid it and I was so scared. And my mother-in-law noticed and she said, Chloe, I noticed you're scared of Hunter. His name was Hunter. Oh my goodness. I said, yes, I'm afraid of Hunter. So you have authority over Hunter. You're the master. You look Hunter in the eyes and you tell him to go down when he comes near you. I said, okay. So the next time Hunter comes running up to me, I look him in the eyes and I say, Hunter, down. Hunter, scampers off. And now I am the master of Hunter. But in the same way, we can approach healing with that same confidence and healing, knowing that you have the authority from Jesus to heal the sick. The fourth thing we can learn is to test it out. It says this, then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. When we're praying for someone, we can pray for them in the name of Jesus, back be healed, amen. And then we can say, how does it feel? Do you want to give a little test out? You know, don't injure yourself, but how are you doing? How are you feeling? You can kind of check in with the person, especially praying for non-Christians. And, you know, in that test, for example, I could have prayed and then said, oh, how's it feeling now? It's good to, you know, check in and ask them how it's feeling. And if someone doesn't get healed, like in that moment, it's okay to just pray again. It's okay to say, well, can I pray for that again for you? You know, even Jesus had to pray more than once. In Mark 8, Jesus heals a blind man. It says this, Jesus took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village, then spitting on the man's eyes, I don't recommend you doing that, he laid his hands on them and said, can you see anything now? Then the man looked around. Yes, he said, I see people, but I can't see them very clearly. They look like trees walking around. Then Jesus placed his hands on the man's eyes again, and his eyes were opened. His sight was completely restored, and he could see everything clearly. Now, I think if Jesus prayed twice, I think it's okay for us to pray more than once as well. So when you're praying for someone, you can pray for healing in Jesus' name and then say, well, how's it feeling? Sometimes there's a measure of the healing. I'd encourage you to thank God for that measure. We've noticed in Wales and in my PhD that people who've often evidenced like a thankful attitude often go on to get fully healed. So thank you, Lord, for the measure of healing I'm seeing, and I pray for more and pray again and pray again. In my PhD, a third of people reported being healed instantly. So someone prayed in that moment, they were totally healed. And then a third of people reported being healed after a number of prayers. So they said something like, you know, Steve prayed for my knee, and it was a little bit better, or nothing happened. Then he prayed again, and then he prayed again. And then on the fourth prayer, it was totally healed. So that a third of people were prayed for a few times. And then a third of people reported being healed within 3 weeks. I don't think it's anything about the 3 weeks, but they said stuff like, the next day I woke up and the pain was gone. Or the next week, or within a couple of weeks, I noticed all the pain had disappeared. So when we're praying for people, if they don't get healed straight away, it's okay to say, well, can I pray for that again? And if you're in a church environment, I think pray until you're blue in the face. Keep praying, keep praying. But when you're praying for your non-Christian friends, obviously you want to be a bit more sensitive and say, you know, if you feel comfortable, you can offer to pray again. Or you can say, well, I'll keep praying for you. And don't be discouraged if they don't get healed in that moment, because often it's, you know, within a couple of days, they might notice a difference. So that's okay. The fifth thing we can learn is to explain about Jesus. And this is especially true when we're praying for non-Christians. Verse 12, it says this, Peter saw his opportunity and addressed the crowd. After the healing, he uses the opportunity to explain about Jesus. I remember a couple of years ago in Wales, we did something called Mission to Wales, where in pairs we would go out, and I can see some of my Welshies nodding, they remember the time, where we would go out in pairs and we'd have a little script and we would kind of say, you know, if you were to die tonight, do you think you'd go to heaven? Like straight in there. And it was absolutely terrifying. But I remember on one occasion, me and my brother spotted a girl with crutches. And so we went over to her and said, oh, hi, you know, if you were to die tonight, do you think you'd go to heaven? And you go on to explain the gospel. But she said, no, I don't want to hear any of this religious stuff. I'm not interested. I said, okay, no problem. But I can see you're on crutches. You know, is it we go to a church where we pray for people for healing. Can I pray for you? And she said, oh, actually, yes, I'd really appreciate that. I've just got out of rehab. I'm a heroin addict and I injected so much in my arms that I moved onto my legs. And I've now like burst all the veins in my legs. I can't walk. I'm in constant pain. Can't get a job because I can't stand up. I can't get a job. I can't pay my rent. I don't know what I'm going to do. You could see she was just in a complete state. So we said, okay, let's pray. So in the middle of Swansea town centre, people walking back and forth, we just said, in the name of Jesus, legs be healed. Amen. And I looked at her after praying. She burst into tears. And this is the most dramatic thing I've seen. Usually it's quite normal, but she like threw aside her crutches. She started jumping on her feet. And she was like, it's gone. The pain is gone. And we were able to say, what Jesus has done for your legs, he wants to do for your whole body. He died on the cross for you. He loves you. He wants to forgive you for all your sins and all the things that you've done wrong. And if you want to give your heart to him, give your life to him, he wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to know you. He doesn't just want to restore your legs. He wants to restore your whole life. Would you like to know him and enter a relationship with him? And she said yes and gave her life to Jesus there and then on the streets of Swansea. Number six, the last thing we can learn from this Acts 3 passage is that any follower of Jesus can pray for people to be healed. I love verse 12 where Peter says this. What is so surprising about this? I love that. The lame man has just walked and he turns to the ground and says, what's so surprising about this? Imagine if that was our response. I almost want us to get to that point where we're like, obviously we glorify God, but we're like, yeah, of course. We know God heals. What's so surprising about this? And why stare at us as though we had made this man walk by our own power or godliness? It's not our power or godliness. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. It's Jesus in us. Verse 16, it's Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. The Holy Spirit is given to all of us. We are all invited to take part in this. We have the opportunity to bring this back to the table for our generation and generations behind us. We know, don't we, it's not enough to just be kind anymore. I have six girlfriends from school and we've been friends since age 11 and I'm 30 now, so what's the maths? I don't know, yeah, 20 years. They're amazing girls. I feel like God has really blessed me with them and we've been through everything together so far. But they're not Christians. I pray for them every day that they would come to know God. But they're not Christians, but they're the kindest girls you'd ever meet. When I was doing my PhD, they used to drop around with notes or gifts or things to help me. They're so, so kind. One of them volunteers in a mental health unit. One of them does like a food bank. They're not Christians. They volunteer. They're kind. They do acts of service. What's different about them and me? It's not enough to just be kind anymore. We need to show our non-Christian friends the power of Jesus, that he can transform lives, that he can forgive their sins, heal their bodies, give them a plan and a purpose and something to live for and worship other than themselves and their own lives. I want to do that. Do you want to do that? So let's take the healing seriously. Let's learn about it. Let's practice it. Let's step out and do it. Matthew 10 says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, cast out demons, give as freely as you have received. This is an instruction he gives to us. It's a command. It's not a suggestion. He says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy. Let's make it a normal thing for Christians to do, to pray for healing. So to sum up, how do we heal in this like everyday way? Do it on the go. Be ready to respond. Pray in the name of Jesus. Test it out. Explain about Jesus and know that every follower of Jesus can pray for healing. So to end, I've been praying for some words of knowledge while I'm here. So I'd love to read them out and pray for anyone in the room who might be in pain. I thought we could have a practice. We can get straight to it, have a practice on each other before we go for lunch. So these are some words of knowledge that I've had this morning. Anyone suffering with a bladder condition, anyone with pain in there or something with their fingers and toes, pain in the left shoulder and you're getting like shooting pain down your arm, someone who's suffering with like constant eye infections or getting like styes in the eye, someone with something with wrong with their kidney, someone who's struggling with like post-COVID symptoms that you're, I don't know if it's like a long COVID or you're just still struggling with symptoms, a bowel and stomach condition and pain in the ribs in the left of your body. So if that's anyone here, I'd love to invite you to stand and I'd love to pray. I'm not going to ask you to come out the front. You can just stand where you are. Of course, yeah. If there's anyone that you know, suffering with sickness as well, please do stand and we'll pray for them. So why don't you just pray this simple prayer with me now? Jesus, please heal me now. Jesus, thank you for everyone here standing. Thank you that you love them and you care for them and their bodies are important to you. And we just speak your healing power into their bodies right now. We say, pain, go in the name of Jesus. We speak to these conditions and we say, leave in the name of Jesus. We speak to back pain, bladder conditions, kidney, bowel, stomach. We say, be made new in Jesus' name. We speak to pains and aches and arthritis and knees and backs. And we say, receive your healing in the name of Jesus. As we're praying, I want to invite anyone else here who is in pain and would like healing to stand. I want everyone to have the opportunity. And if you're still seated, then you're the prayer team. So thank you so much for volunteering. There's quite a lot of people standing, so really appreciate everyone mucking in and getting involved because we're all here to call the sick. So let me pray for you, and I'm going to ask you to find someone in the room. Ask what their condition is. And the person who's standing, I just want to ask you to give like a short, just share shortly what it is. So, you know, I have back pain or knee pain. You don't need to give a long medical history of what's happened. And then you can just pray. You just say, in the name of Jesus, back pain be gone. Amen. And you can ask them to test it out. We're going to put it into practice. So Jesus, thank you for everyone here. I pray that you would anoint them with your healing power now. And I pray that you would move mightily in this room. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I'd love to invite you all to stand and find someone in the room and pray for them now. Once you've prayed once or twice, you can ask them to test it out. How does it feel? Praise God for what he's doing and pray again. Has anyone received a measure of healing? Give me a little wave if you've received a full healing. Anyone been totally healed? Well, keep praying. If you're receiving a measure of healing, let me encourage you to thank God and pray again.
For a while because I lifted something really heavy at food bank.
Would you mind sharing?
No, no.
Yeah, that'd be great. What's your name?
Ellen.
And this lady's going to share with you as well.
I just want to interrupt your prayers to hear from a few people who've just been healed. So Ellen, why don't you share your story?
Yes, I damaged my shoulder a couple of months ago now, at Food Bank, lifting heavy crates. And I've had difficulty kind of reaching behind and doing things. And it's been on and off, but today it feels absolutely fine. Thank you, Lord.
Hiya, I'm Steph, and kind of around Christmas, I damaged my shoulder, and I wouldn't have been able to do that, but now I can kind of move my shoulder. Thank you, Jesus.
Thanks, Steph. Is there anyone else who's been healed that you want to come and encourage us and share with us? Fantastic. Okay, well, yeah, is there someone?
Hi, my name's Mary. I've had a back pain since June last year. They said I was going to be paralysed, and I wasn't, thankfully. But I've had a back pain since. I've got 2 slit discs, and I can do this now. I got prayed for this morning in a prayer, one of the seminars I went to yesterday on prayer, and I started to feel a warm feeling, and it was just still there. But when you said it's okay to pray again, I was really worried, and God said, are you hearing me? And I just obeyed, and this lovely lady came and prayed for me, and I still feel this warm feeling, so God's still doing more, but it's better than it was, so thank you.
Fantastic.
I had pain all over my body anyway for various reasons, but you talked about people with pains in their fingers. So I developed some nodules, really painful, that I have to massage and can't bend, especially this third finger, without pain. And when I was being prayed for, the pain has totally gone. I can't feel it anymore. Amen.
Praise the Lord. I sat at the top there and I could feel, in fact it's been going on for a while since I've been at conference, and sometimes I feel my eyes just water because I, even when I'm not crying or I'm not laughing, I feel eyes just come as if I'm crying. So I sat there and I said that a sister should pray with me because I could feel it's like sand on my eye, and we prayed for each other and I feel like clarity, so clear. And I can feel that. I don't feel the pain anymore because it was so sensitive that I could feel it, but I don't feel it anymore. Glory to Jesus.
I have nerve damage in my feet. Sharon's just prayed for me and the pain's gone. Praise Jesus.
You encouraged? It's exciting, isn't it? Any other stories? Well, keep sharing if there's any others. And if you haven't, if you're still in pain, then before you leave today, do grab someone next to you and say, oh, would you just pray for me before you go? As we finish, I'd love to pray for you. If you feel like, I'd love to see this more in my church, in my small group, in my Sunday school, whatever it is that you lead, I would love to pray for you. Jesus, thank you for everyone here. And thank you that it's your will to heal. Thank you that you want to heal. Thank you that you teach it to us and model it to us, and it's your desire to heal. And I pray for everyone here that you would anoint them with your healing power, that they would know the authority that you have given them. I pray for everyone here that you would give them confidence and boldness to step out with a non-Christian friend or whoever they bump into and say, can I pray for you? I pray for everyone here, Lord, that they would meet someone who is sick this week. Because we know you're a God of humor. And they would meet someone and have the opportunity to pray for them. And that they would be able to point to you and the reality that you can make in people's lives, Lord. That it's not about the healing, but it's that it points to you and the difference that you long to make in people's lives. We love you, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing today. And I just pray your anointing on everyone here. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Well, we're so grateful to Chloe for sharing with us today. Will you give her another hand? Yeah. And I think we should give God a clap as well, because it's just awesome, isn't it, when we see God heal. I'm going to pray that we just all go back, fired up, to be bold enough as Chloe has prayed. Father, some of us will have gotten complacent over the years. We will have seen healings and then for whatever reason become discouraged. Father, we just pray that you just, that somehow, Lord God, through the power of your Spirit, would just dissipate within us. That reluctance would be gone in the name and power of Jesus, and we would be confident to declare the name of Jesus in our churches and in our communities, in our homes and our workplaces, that we would see Jesus heal. We thank you that as a movement, we were birthed in the knowledge that Jesus is our Savior, our healer, our baptizer, and our soon coming King. And Father, may we never forget that, and may we continue to practice those truths daily. And Father, bless Chloe, Lord God. Bless her, Lord God. In all her comings and goings, Lord God, may the book come to pass quickly and swiftly and give glory to you. And Father, may you bless her in her ministries, Lord, throughout this nation and beyond. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you all for being with us this week. And don't forget, do stay for the next session here in the auditorium. It's going to be a great time of consecration. Don't miss it. Enjoy lunch.